Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
I'm going to do something that changes the mood a little bit somehow. I mean, maybe it's
take
too
your
early.
Clothes off.
I'll take...
Get nude.
There we go. There's one layer. It is getting a little warm in here, actually.
I just got chilly. All the blood has left my body from this stupid season. It's just absurd.
Wasn't a stupid season.
I know.
It was a stupid end
stupid
to the
end.
Season. It's a great season.
Nothing ever ends well because it ends. You know, it's over.
I mean, think how sad we would be after they won the World Series and then it would be over still.
I would
no
not
matter
be
what
sad.
We do.
I would be S-faced still for like a week at me screaming at Adam. No, I'm not doing any of an extra show. You don't want me on the mic. No, I would not be sad. Are you kidding me?
I know, I'm
would
kidding.
Would not be sad.
I am kidding you.
But you know, people were asking me yesterday, are you going to watch the games? I go, yeah, I'm going to watch the games. I'm not. I live it and breathe it. I need baseball. I don't care who's playing. I have to have it.
I mean, the alternative last night was Bengals-Giants, and that was not entertaining football. So.
I tried to force myself yesterday to sit down and watch some NFL football, and I could not have given a rat's ass about what I was watching. I'm sitting there watching Red Zone going, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. And I need to, you know, I need to switch my mindset here because, yeah, football's heating up. College football was on Saturday. My beloved Notre Dame was playing. They were rolling against Stanford. And I'm like this. I don't care. I just don't care. I couldn't get over it. It was very, very, very sad. A very sad weekend.
All right. Well, you know, we did watch a little bit of football. I watched some college football on Saturday. And then some NFL yesterday had some Red Zone on. And Paulie's got a few updates for us here today on the Rundle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rundle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rundle Report with Paul Rundle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rundle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy? Oh, yeah.
All right. Good morning, gentlemen. We will start off in the NFL, and there were a lot of different directions we could have gone, whether it was Jerry Jones and the Cowboys.
Oh, my.
Getting bodied on his
goodness
birthday.
Gracious.
Or the...
That was humiliating.
Awful, awful injury to... who?
Aiden Hutchinson.
Aiden Hutchinson, season-ending.
He had surgery this morning on a broken fibula and tibia. That's taken out... all of the bones in your lower leg at once. That was horrific.
Maybe even career ending. I mean, good God. But I was going to focus actually on the Colts and the Titans.
The only person to focus on the Colts and Titans today.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
And it's not just because Calvin Ridley scored me 0.9 points on fantasy football this week, but he went on a expletive-laden rant to the media after the game. Calvin Ridley, big name wide receiver for the Titans. They lost. And he was not very happy after the game, and the video was going around. He was not holding anything back with his thoughts on why they lost 20-17 to the Colts. But I thought it'd be more fun, instead of me beeping everything out, if we just had Ben read it.
Read it.
I have transcribed Calvin Ridley's exchange in the locker room. Ben Higgins, if you mind.
you mind.
If you don't mind. I was going to say if you will.
Let's see. I had targets? In what part of the game did I have targets? They then told him, well, you had a lot of them in the fourth quarter. All right, then. So, S, I need some in the beginning of the F in game two, then. S is getting effing crazy for me, says Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, when you look at the box score, zero receiving receptions for 0 yards, but he did have 8 targets. And he was very mad that, I guess, they weren't evenly distributed throughout the game.
All targets are not created equal.
Correct.
Though.
Yeah, that's true.
When you're wide open and your quarterback doesn't see you and should be throwing it to you, you're like, I want that target. When he can't find anyone and he just chucks it toward you, like at the end of a game desperately.
That's a target.
That doesn't feel so much like a target for a wide receiver as more of a hanging me out to dry moment.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, big name receiver wants more balls thrown his way. News at 11. This is what it is all about.
I'll give him a little bit of credit. It was like a 2-minute rant that he went on, and towards the end he said, it is what it is. I sucked today. I got to be better, but I got to get the ball a little earlier in the game so I can be in the game and here with the team so that I can play well also.
Seems sure. Like something for like closed door meeting with the offensive coordinator and the quarterback, not necessarily for post game frustration in the locker room.
Receiver 101, man.
There wasn't a ton of great games yesterday. I thought Ravens Commanders might have been the best one, which is saying a lot. Derrick Henry has been really good. After he got freed from that Tennessee Titans offense, he's been really good for the Ravens. 132 yards, 2 more touchdowns for Derrick Henry in their win. Both teams now 4-2 in that game.
College football, did not get to watch much of it at all this weekend. I know Woodsy said, what'd you say in the last segment? Notre Dame was on. I couldn't have cared less.
I was just watching, eyes glazed over, thinking 24 straight innings.
I was looking at some of the box scores, though. It was an exciting day for some of the top 25 games. I saw San Diego State held on to beat Wyoming.
Yep. First road win in an entire year for the Aztecs.
God. But it was the top five that had the biggest shakeups. Oregon, and Ohio State had to be the number one game.
Yep.
I think,
watch that game. That was a really good game. I was working Saturday night, so I had it on. And
Oregon,
that was
at home, College Game Day, they won by 1 point, 32-31, and it came down to a pretty wild ending with Ohio State, their quarterback running the ball and trying to slide, but there was not enough time left. And it didn't stop.
So
the clock
I tweeted about this as I was watching the game. So Ohio State down 1, time running out, 1 timeout left. So there's 10 seconds and the clock is stopped. They have the ball at like the 43 or something. So they're still out of field goal range by a ways. Oregon then sends 12 men onto the field. And it looks like, oh, this is confusion. This is a mistake. A lot of people, including myself, thought this might have actually been brilliant strategy because they ran the play, which was kind of hopeless because they're playing against an extra defensive back.
Right.
Everyone was double covered because he had an extra guy in the field. They knock it down, and it took like 4 seconds. So even though they were penalized 5 yards, it didn't get them into field goal range.
Right.
And it turned out perfectly.
It bled clock.
They didn't have enough time to run that full next play to get into field goal range. They ran it. He slid, but there was no time left on the clock.
Man.
And that extra 4 seconds they killed with the penalty ended up maybe winning the game for Oregon. It was kind of genius. And I just want to throw out there, as ridiculous as college football, this realignment, and USC and Oregon and Washington and UCLA and the Big Ten and Stanford and Cal and the ACC, as dumb as it is, doesn't it feel like we're getting way more like exciting games? Like Oregon, Ohio State is something we would not have seen until maybe like the Rose Bowl. But now we get it as a league game. Like every week there's a spectacular game. Penn State, USC was a fantastic game.
Because it's working.
USC, Cal, USC, Arizona. I don't know. It wasn't doing much for me. This is actually way more entertaining, I think, for college football fans to see these matchups on a weekly basis.
I'm certainly entertained by USC's season so far.
Oh.
Big time entertained. That's all Big Game Lincoln for you.
They've played the hardest schedule in college football and lost 3 times by 13 points total.
Sucks to suck.
But they're out of it now. I mean, 3 losses. I don't think you can come back.
Now you can just ruin
playoffs,
my season at the end of the year, which I'm fully expecting. So come back to this
moment. Alabama nearly lost for a second straight week. They gave up an onside kick to South Carolina, up 2 in the last minute, but then the defense held tight and they held on for a 2-point win.
A little bit of movement in the top five. The teams all remain the same, though. Texas stays at number one. Oregon moves up a spot to number two. Penn State moves up 6-0 to number three. Ohio State fell to number four. And then Georgia rounds out the top five. I also saw that Army and Navy both are ranked this year. Army is 6-0. Navy is 5-0. And typically those games, when the service schools are playing a game, it can be a tough watch. They are both undefeated, and it's the first time they are both in the top 25 since October 3rd, 1960.
Wow. I don't know who they have. Like, I'm assuming it's like games like the rest of the way. Wouldn't it be incredible if, like, they stayed undefeated and the Army-Navy game was, like, to make the college football playoff at the end of the year?
That's possible.
That would be spectacular drama.
It's the first time both Army and Navy had been undefeated at this point in the season, which is, what, 6 weeks in, 7 weeks in, since 1945, just after the end of World War II.
It's funny because, in some ways, this whole college NIL transfer portal thing... It's hurting so many schools.
Sure.
But I doubt it hurts Army and Navy as much.
Right.
Because if you're going to Army and Navy, there's a reason you're going there, and it's not to try to have a good freshman season and then transfer somewhere else and get the best NIL offer. You're still getting the same guys you always were.
Yeah.
So I don't think it really affects them maybe as much as it does some other programs. And they're both having really, really good seasons.
All right. And then finally, a little sportsy, but I've got some unhinged audio here.
Love that.
From the world of the NBA basketball. So Sam Mitchell and Chris Miles, they were on NBA Network, NBA TV. And I think this was before, still preseason, right?
In the NBA?
Before a preseason game.
Even I know.
And the studio show was going on, and they were talking about... I think they were talking about, like, coaches getting medals, Olympic medals for their team success. And it turned into a back and forth between Sam Mitchell, former player, former coach, and the co-host, Chris Miles. And it even ended with Sam Mitchell doxing Chris Miles and, like, putting his address out over the air.
This was some of the most awkward studio banter I have ever seen in my life.
I left the part out where he gives his address. I don't want to encourage anybody to do that, but he, like, pulls it up on Google and he's like, "This is you, right? Blank, blank, blank Avenue." And he's like, "With the pool in the backyard." And he just put it out there over the over the airwaves. But here's what got it all started between these two on NBA TV.
The coaches don't get medals, I guess. It just tells you what international, how they value coaches. Not at all.
I'm surprised.
How do coaches don't get a gold medal?
I'm surprised coaches get a paycheck for this show. You know, I think, like, maybe you should do this pro bono, my friend.
You know, last time I looked at my check, it's pretty close. So, hey, I'm taking donations. Why don't you come up off some of that money you got since you're over there bragging about it?
Yeah.
So it starts there. He's talking about, you know, maybe a coach. Yeah. You made all the big money in the NBA. Maybe you should just be doing this for free. He's like, I almost am. I'm not making a ton to be here.
I'm not bragging about
it. Well, I mean, I'm sorry. Did you rent your beach house out down in Florida during the hurricane? Or do I need to go on? How about your townhouse over in Buckhead?
Hey, what's going on here, Sam?
You want to call me out? I mean, come on. You screaming broke and hungry. Let's just see it. You know, I know what you have and where you live, young fella, so you need to stop.
I think we have snitches on the show today.
No, we don't have snitches. We have truth tellers.
Sam Mitchell.
We have truth tellers. So you're the one who crying poor and destitute up here. When do I need to keep going on further, more and more? Or do you want me to stop right now?
Go to this game between the Sacramento Kings and Golden State Warriors.
You're going to stop messing with me on national TV. I done told you about that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
Hey, do I need to give out the address? Because you're not at home right now.
And he did.
He
like,
did.
The camera flashed to the Warriors, like, pregame huddle on the court. But they're still talking.
The host really
the
wants
background.
To move on at this point, and Sam is not letting it
and
go.
And he drops his address on the air.
Why? How did that get so sideways?
They don't quite have the friendly, like, Ben and Woods, all
right.
Good fun banter down yet.
How did it get so sideways? What creased that guy so much?
I don't know.
I mean, if there's, like, drama between them. It felt personal, though. It absolutely felt personal.
Yikes. I mean, it's authentic.
It's very authentic.
Awkward.
So don't dox people.
Yeah.
Very awkward.
Is that it?
That's it.
That's it for Paulie today. All right. If you want to join us, you can. We saved the last couple of segments here for you guys out there. 833-288-0973. I'm sure that some of you have been sitting on some good takes. I'm sure some of you have been sitting on some bad takes all weekend long.
We are now a Dodger fan hub in our YouTube chat. I mean, it is like...
Do we need to cover the Dodgers more? We have so many Dodger fans. They don't have anywhere else to go.
They really don't.
Yeah, they finally beat little brother. Welcome this you. Is their World Series.
This is unreal. It truly is a... I mean, it is like 95% Dodger fans in here having their moment right now. Bring it. Bring it. Bring it. You know I would.
Sean Manaea going to shut the Dodgers down today like he's done so many other teams this season and postseason?
We will see.
I guess we'll find out. All
just
right,
a few hours away.
Come back after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So after the game on Friday, I was sitting doing most of my TV work right outside the exits at Dodger Stadium as fans were passing through. And I heard more than one basically acknowledge that they felt like the Padres were the toughest opponent that the Dodgers were going to get.
Sure.
Like that was the team that scared them the most. And now they feel going forward, they've got a much better chance than they've had in a long time. And I guess the hard part for Padres fans is that you would have had that same road that Dodgers fans now feel like is advantageous against the Mets, who obviously did not come offensively in their first game in the NLCS last night. And then either the Guardians or the Yankees. I mean, I assume the Yankees would be the tougher out of the two, and I'm sure Major League Baseball would love to see a Yankees-Dodgers or secondarily Yankees-Mets Subway Series for the ratings and the big markets. But the Yankees are a flawed team as well.
Massively, dude. They're, Aaron Judge, their superstar, has done nothing. I mean, really, nothing. He's got one hit. Juan Soto is Juan Soto, but why pitch to Soto when Judge is swinging at everything right now? So, going to be interesting to see how they handle the Guardians. And, they're no joke. The Cleveland Guardians are no joke. Just went in and handled business against Tarek Skubal. They got pretty flummoxed by the bullpen days that A.J. Hinch was throwing out at them, and they rose above it, man, and went out and beat an ace and pretty handily. Pretty handily, and they got Class A as well, so if they can get a lead, they've had no problem going him for 5-6 outs, whatever they need, so you got to get it done.
Yeah, I think their offense disappearing at times is the biggest concern. It did in that Tigers series for a couple of days, but they still managed to find a way to get through. And honestly, if you look back for the Padres series, as much as we will focus on the last two, they could have done the same thing as the Guardians if they just won the first game.
Yeah.
And we would have never known because they would have swept the series in three. But that was the one that got away. You had a 3-0 lead. You had a 5-3 lead in game one. And you were not able to hold on to it. Now, when they came back and won the next two, you thought, oh, big deal. Bounce back. But it was a big deal. As it turned out, game one was a really big deal because any team's offense can disappear for a couple of days. It did for the Guardians. They still won the series because the other three games where they had a chance to win, they won. Padres, the other three games that they had the chance to win where their offense did show up, they won two of the three.
Yep.
That's the difference between going home and going forward in the postseason. And ultimately, it may be game one that you regret more, even though it wasn't the last one, the one that stings the most. That's probably the one where the season got away from you.
Yep.
In game one.
Yeah,
of the
certainly
series.
That fourth inning, man, just spiraled but you had a chance. You needed to beat a starter that you'd had no problem beating. And you didn't scratch anything together off of him, and that's a tough one, man. Tough one to swallow.
All right, a lot of people trying to get in. We got some callers on the line. 833-288-0973. Keep trying if you can't get through. Let's go to Steve. Steve, welcome to Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey. But,
hey, listen, I just want to start off by saying I've been watching the Padres since Westgate Park days.
Yep.
So I've watched a lot of Padre baseball. In my opinion, this was their best chance ever to get to a World Series. I thought everything was in line for them to make that run. So that being said, I have an opinion, and just instead of jumping on me too hard, let me give you my opinion.
Shoot it.
I'm looking for next year, and one of the moves I would love to see them make is somehow, some way, somehow get rid of Bogart. I don't like the guy. I don't like what he did on the field the first part of the season. I feel like Schilt's hands are tied because of his contract. The guy's not a good shortstop. Cronenworth's a better second baseman than him. I feel like he had to put him in the lineup because of his contract, and we kept trying to figure out where do you plug this guy in when he shows no energy. He's not a good hitter. He's not really that good of a defenseman. And in my opinion, I'd rather have Wade as a shortstop. I'd rather have somebody with some high energy to do the job. And I think somehow if A.J. Preller next year, when he has to do some trades, somehow he can put him in the trade. Because this is just my opinion, guys. I think he's a cancer to the team. I just don't think he's done anything to help this team. And your hands are tied because of his contract.
Thanks for the call, man. I was with you for a second until you said you want Tyler Wade as your everyday shortstop, and then that's not. And Tyler Wade does bring an energy to the team, but Bogey is a far superior baseball player than Tyler Wade is. As far as the cancer goes, I can't speak to that. All I know is he's pretty well liked in the organization. He's certainly been accountable when he's been bad. You're right, though, as far as being a big contract that the Padres probably never should have handed out. I think you're right about that. Here's the problem, though. You're not going to find a taker for him. There's no way any team goes, well, if they don't want him.
You can give us Salas and Merrill, you know,
right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And eat $50 million.
If not way more.
Yeah.
If not way more. So I hate to feel that you're pigeonholed, but I do feel like you're with Xander Bogaerts, and the best thing that you can do is literally hope he figures it out. It's not the answer you're looking for. You will find exactly zero takers for Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, it's no shock that we all agree, and I'm sure even A.J. Preller and, you know, the quiet moments will agree that Xander has not performed up to his contract,
yeah.
Not even close, in the first couple of years. I think clearly, he was one of the, you know, nine best players who needed to be out there for the San Diego Padres
for sure.
In the postseason. It wasn't a mistake to play Xander Bogaerts. You had to play Xander Bogaerts, and I don't think he's a cancer at all. I think Xander is actually quite well respected. I don't think some of his comments necessarily are what you expect as a fan coming from a player, but I think he's very honest and introspective, and I don't have a problem with that. I like Xander's candidness and what he brings, and I think most teams need something like that. But in terms of production, yeah, he doesn't need to hit 35 home runs every year, but there needs to be more extra base power from Xander Bogaerts. I'm okay with him. I think at second base, I think that's the right position for him. I think he's only going to get better if you stick him there, but they may have to put him back at shortstop next year, and that is probably not an ideal situation for the Padres. Going forward with Xander Bogaerts as your everyday shortstop. It's not the best configuration for the Padres, which is weird, thinking they may need to go out and find a shortstop next year.
Again.
Knowing that they have so many of them. Like, every single player on their roster is a shortstop, and yet they may have a bit of a hole at shortstop going into 2025.
Well, I mean, I already saw the report from Kevin Acey that they're considering, and I don't know how real this is, but considering Leo DeVries at shortstop, which I...
And Salas.
Yeah.
Hey, he is no longer a minor. As of last Friday,
18 years
he
old.
He turned 18. So, whew. I mean, yeah, it would be ridiculous to promote someone who can't, you know, even legally do anything until. But now he's 18. I'm
smoke
sure
cigarettes you're, now.
It's good to go. It's the Padres starting shortstop.
Yeah, I think
next
that was
season.
An AC's article, wasn't it?
I mean, it's definitely been talked about. I don't see any circumstances in which he breaks spring training. I mean, if he has a really good season in the minors again next year, maybe you think about calling him up later in the year.
They're 21?
They are, yeah.
Get out of town,
yeah.
Really?
In California, at least.
Oh, wow. Holy cow.
Maybe in like North Carolina they're not, where they, you know, they grow all the tobacco, but here they're 21.
21?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'd color me shocked.
Vices? Yeah. You need to be a little older for your vices.
Apparently so. 21. Federally.
Not a bad call, Steve, though. I mean, he was worried that we were going to jump all over.
No, I mean, you can't. Tyler Wade's not an everyday shortstop.
I disagree with that as well.
Yeah, I was.
There was a lot of Wadey love in that locker room at the end,
of course.
Though. Guys came up to him and, you know, appreciated what Wade did.
If you want to criticize Xander Bogaerts and his stats, his play on the field, that is 100% okay and fair.
Yeah.
I throwing the C word out there with baseball players.
It's what happens after
pretty heavy.
After a devastating loss.
I don't feel like Xander Bogaerts is the reason we didn't win the NLDS.
Yeah.
And I think the intangibles that he has as a player are second to none. I mean, he is a leader with these young players.
For sure.
You want 26 guys with the mentality of a Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah.
But the play on the field is absolutely fair game.
Yeah.
All right, let's take one last time out. We still have more callers on the line. 833-288-0973.
Maybe we skipped the callers.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad call.
That was not a bad call. You'll get some,
it wasn't bad.
You'll get some fresh
takes. Are they going to get better is what you have to ask yourself.
That's true. Will it get better?
Annie and Elston coming up at 10 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. More Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
I think I can speak for a lot of parents out there this week and next week that we are in the chamber here. Do you remember fall break, Benny, for your kids?
Yes.
Yeah, this week is conference week. So we have parent-teacher conferences.
Fall break is wild. That's a new concept.
It's wild. And so they get out early all week this week, and then they're just out next week.
Is this a symptom? Because it used to be... There wasn't a fall break, but we started later. We started in September.
Yes.
Now you're starting earlier in August, but they have to, you know, I mean, it's the same number of school days, so they just give you more time off during the year, which is now fall break to go with spring break and winter break as well over the holidays. A lot of breaks.
Yeah, it's very stressful being a first grader, I guess. So it's going to be on break next week.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, man.
On that.
I just like the baseball season ends. You're like, ooh, all right, time for a reset. Get myself back together. No, sorry.
George in the chat says, my boys had 2 weeks off their fall break.
Wow.
Holy cow. Holy cow.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, thanks, man. Going to need it.
It's today a bank holiday as well. Columbus Day / Indigenous People's Day.
Junior said they're going on break like the Padres, LMAO. They're misspelled. T-H-E-R-E. You're going to want... Junior.
Stay hot, Dodgers
Junior,
fans.
Junior, you're going to want to do a T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E.
We should do this segment at some point, just as a public service to everybody.
To Dodger fans, mostly.
The three different theirs.
Also, let's go with loser is 1-0. You absolute buffoons. You morons. Loser has 1-0.
Two O's is looser.
Looser!
Potter's a bunch of losers.
Looser! Bunch of losers. Junior, go back to school, okay? T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E means they are!
That was like second grade, I think.
Good God. Bo knows this stuff. He's six, and he's on break.
When it's a place, I'm going there.
Losers.
There is a big accident on the freeway. That's T-H-E-R-E. When it belongs to someone.
T-H-E-I-R.
Possessive.
Possessive. Woods and Paul. Oh, that's their rally roach. That's T-H-E-I-R.
Yes.
And when it's a contraction, they are, and you're putting those words together, they are great. They're great. That's when you have the apostrophe T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E. The three different theirs.
It's
public
staggering.
Service announcement from Ben and Woods this morning.
Staggering. Dino says it's hilarious. The show refuses to hold actual players accountable, but comes down hard on 4-foot, 12-inch Rosenthal. That would be 5 feet. Because, Dino, there's 12 inches
all
in
right,
a foot.
All right, now we go from English class to math class.
Yeah. So, again, Dino, 4-12 is 5 feet. You absolute loser. Okay? You are a loser. Listen,
All right.
we absolutely are holding them accountable. They were terrible down the stretch. Luis Arraez was terrible.
Not even Profar, a stretch. Two games.
Arraez, Profar, Manny, Crony, all of them.
It was just the
offense.
They
got two hits, man. What are you doing? Like, what are we doing here? 412 is 5 feet, though, at the end of the day.
All right, we'll come back, and we'll have some social studies and geography after this.
They knew that stuff, that would be elite trolling, but they just
don't.
They just don't know.
After this check of traffic.
Yeah, Satan's Blowfish. We will hold the players accountable when you guys start holding L.A.'s public school system accountable. You absolute morons in our chat. Morons. It's staggering.
All right, traffic with Kelly on 97.3 The Fam. All right, seems like things are a little on edge, so when we go out to the calls here,
be
careful. We got our friend Eric, a.k.a. Easy.
Easy.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, boys. How you guys doing?
Fantastic, man.
I just wanted to point out that I wanted to thank Peter Seidler for everything, you know, especially giving me my dignity back here in San Diego. And it wouldn't have been without him, you know. For everything that happened this season. So I just wanted to make sure and highlight that Peter Seidler was the reason why everything happened this year. And I'm very thankful, honestly, as a San Diegan, because I got my pride back. And I don't care what these Dodger fans think or say, we still don't got a championship.
I like it, man.
I saw it suggested, and I agree with the suggestion from this weekend, that the Padres should keep the PS heart patch. I know normally those special patches are a one-year only deal, but to me it feels like Peter's legacy is a little more important than a one-year patch.
Sure, I agree.
And I would think the players would also agree. The only people that I would think that might stand in the way, Major League Baseball may have some weird like rules. No, you can only do a special patch for one season, and they may make
them take
it off.
Sorry, we actually sold that real estate on MLB jerseys to Strauss.
It's going to a low. It's going to a Home Depot.
When did that happen? The helmets, the Strauss on the helmets.
It was right for the playoffs.
Playoffs only.
What is Strauss?
We did this whole bit on the air. We did it in the Rhino Report. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be like the PS patch sponsored by Home Depot.
He might not have been here actually when we did the Strauss. I think he was though.
I don't remember at all.
Yeah.
Any talk of Strauss other than seeing it on the helmets? I thought maybe they made the helmets.
No, it looks terrible. No, yeah. They're not a helmet.
They don't make the helmets.
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
it's not Riddell like makes helmets.
No, or like you know, there's a bunch of different brands that make them, but it is just Strauss is like, oh, it's a European Carhartt, okay? Like they're like
clothing,
and, yeah,
okay. Yeah, I don't remember
outdoors wear.
Yeah, man, it's weird that Carhartt would make more sense, wouldn't it, than Strauss? But listen, they got to make money too. Johnny says, Ben checks out for the Rindle Report. So, yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, usually you say that and I go, oh, you're right. Like, I do remember. I literally have zero recollection of that.
That's been a long year, bud.
None at all. Any discussion of Strauss, I never knew what it was. I just saw it on helmets and go, that's new,
that's
isn't
a new,
it?
Yeah, that's new.
Why does it all say Strauss on the helmets?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that at all to keep the PS heart. You know, we have a Tier 1 baseball team. We'll keep it on ours for sure. Not going anywhere.
I don't think the Peter Seidler legacy fund and the good works that it's doing are going away either.
Yeah,
so you want to keep that feeling and keep that memory alive as long as you possibly can, of course.
No doubt.
I wanted to give a shout-out as well to Shiel Seidler, tweeting after the end of the season, hey, thanking everybody, touch some grass, get out, you know, put your phones down for a minute.
It was hard.
Come back and, you know, we'll be back and do this again. But obviously she knows just like the rest of us, everybody hurting a little bit about how this season ended.
It was hard to touch grass on Saturday and Sunday, and it's going to be hard to touch grass today. But with each day, you know, you get closer to the next season, and my optimism hasn't waned, you know, for this team. They're still going to be a tremendous part of our lives and family. And, you know, I just look to my 6-year-old for a lot of wisdom all the time. And if his faith, you know, is unwavering, then mine will be as well.
All right. Let's sneak another one or two in here. We got John on the line. John, good morning. Welcome to Ben and Woods.
Hey, guys. First and foremost, I got to say, what a heck of a year. I'm not necessarily a Padre fan, but got a lot of family and got a lot of friends that are Padre fans. And, you gotta give it to Peter for, and I don't mean to say this way, but Peter really gave his heart. I mean, he died trying to bring a championship to San Diego, and I really respect that. And you know what? I could easily get on here and bust, you know what, but I'm not going to do it. But all I got to say is this. I got nothing against the Padres. I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm everything Pittsburgh. And I really felt for Darvish giving up two runs because, you know what, Paul Skenes did it all year. Gave up two runs and never had the support.
Yeah,
so,
I love Paul
in
Skenes.
In this game against the Dodgers, I was right there with you guys.
I love Paul Skenes.
I love
Paul Skenes. I love
hanging in there, guys.
Thanks, brother. Sean. Appreciate it, man. You guys too. You guys too. You know, in Pittsburgh, it's a, in it's a, you talk about two different organizations. Certainly, you have a lot to be happy about with the two top guys in their rotation. But you know, you look at their owner, and their owner is not committed to winning like ours is here. You don't always win, even when you commit to winning. So, yeah, all that is. It's hard for me to come in here and be like, God, what a great season. I'm so proud of these guys. Just because of the sour taste, and I get it. But it was a fun season.
It was the most fun season we've had in 6 years covering them.
The worst ending of all time.
You
it was
had
just terrible.
Analysts all across the sport saying this is the best Padres team ever assembled.
Yeah.
And that includes two teams that did win the pennant. Kind of helps twist the knife a little bit more.
Of course.
Like it makes it hurt. But, man, there were so many fun moments
great.
This year. I had, you know, yeah. It sucks.
Sucks, man.
It was not a fun way to end the season,
you know,
but that does
like?
Not erase all of the fun moments.
No, it doesn't. But it also doesn't make me want to, you know, sit in here and croon over how great it was. It tastes like I chewed up a Bayer aspirin. That's what it tastes. My mouth tastes like you gave me a Bayer, and I put it in my mouth and just chewed it up. It's just bitter.
You see, I hate that feeling. You see some people in the chat. You had the caller like, why don't you hold the players accountable? Manny Machado not coming through. I mean, you know, they didn't come through.
Didn't
We've talked
through.
About that.
They did not show up.
Listen to the first 2.5 hours of the show.
I know.
Shouldn't you also hold accountable? I mean, just because you win or lost, guys don't come through. Shohei Ohtani had a terrible series. Hit 200.
Yeah.
I mean, he absolutely choked for the Dodgers when they needed him the most. And he choked. Mookie Betts hit 222 in the series. Giant choker. Max Muncy did nothing. Choker. Will Smith hit 125. They all choke, but they get a free pass because
and
their bullpen was really, really good.
Yep.
So, what are we supposed to do about that?
And
they don't have no consequences whatsoever because the other guys pick them up. Yeah, Manny didn't have a great series, but he didn't have other teammates who picked him up the way Teoscar Hernandez and Kike Hernandez picked up the Dodgers. I mean, the only difference in that series was two swings. By those two guys that picked up the rest of the guys on the Dodgers who did not come through for them in that last game.
Yeah, I mean,
Padres didn't have anyone that picked them up.
Dylan Cease did not pick this team up. Luis Rise did not pick this team up. It didn't happen. Michael King giving up that grand slam was just brutal. Gave them life. You had them 6-1, and
yeah.
it was over
in baseball.
And you stopped adding on.
Tough. I'm always going to lean toward. Hey, praise the guys who do come through because it's so hard. But in baseball, you're expected to go 1-for-4 most games.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a very small difference between 0-for-4 and 1-for-4. It's one at-bat that doesn't go your way. Could be a deep fly, could be a line out that didn't fall in. 3-for-4 might just be a couple of bloops. You know, it give credit to the guys who came through. Teoscar, Kike, they came through with the big swings. No one else came through for the Dodgers other than their pitchers in that game.
Yeah.
That's the difference in the series right there. I don't think it was that, you know, Manny had a particularly bad series, you know.
Wasn't a good one.
He also hit some balls hard, didn't have a ton of luck in that series as well. That's going to happen over five games, you know. Tatis had an unbelievable postseason with 423, but ultimately he didn't come through in the last two games either. Do you say that he didn't or did come through for the Padres? Which one is it?
Right.
He did or he didn't.
It's not that cut and dry, I don't think. But yeah, man, it's you're just coping with the inability to score any runs whatsoever, and that's what it is. They stopped scoring runs. They've been a prolific offense, and
it'd almost be easier if they had been an inconsistent offense over the course of the season.
Of course.
And then you go into the offseason going, okay, we know what we need to fix.
We need
more consistency from the offense.
So
we need another piece
consistent.
Or two.
Yeah.
But we'd be silly to sit here and go, oh, Padres need to now spend their offseason fixing an offense that was pretty much
193 games,
as good as any in baseball all season long.
It's so wild too, because now you get that. Remember after the last season ended, and you're like, well, "How the hell did we get here? How did we get here? How did we get to this point? We had all these stars and all this, that projected to win 100 games, whatever. Didn't really get close. You know, didn't really sniff the playoffs." And then you're left with the same sinking feeling of what the hell happened. And I know it was only 2.5 games, but there's still that same sinking feeling of why not us? Why? What the hell happened to you guys, you know, with 2 games remaining? You had a 2-1 lead, and you let it slip through your fingers. It's basically you took the entire 2023 season and you piled it into 2 friggin' games. Is when you decided to start playing like that team.
Not
again.
Hitting with runners in scoring position.
Yeah,
0-for-9 late.
Yeah. Yeah. Just unbelievable.
And then just a game where they looked like they just didn't know what they were doing at the plate.
And now you sit here with the same exact feeling as you had last year. The same exact feeling.
Just 2 weeks later.
2 weeks later. Yeah. Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
But the disappointment is no less. In fact, may even be
a little more.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I was like, people were like ready to give up on baseball last year after that debacle. This one, I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what ownership does. You know, the ball is in their court. You have a unbridled passion for baseball in this city. I think we've seen that. I think the fans have proven that this year. How does ownership respond in 2025 to let the fans know, thank you. We appreciate it. Let's keep trying to get a ring.
Well, we will talk about what we think the Padres may and may not do this offseason as we move forward. Certainly will be a topic of discussion starting on tomorrow's program. A little sports on the schedule today. Of course, game 2 of the NLCS starts at 1:08 on Fox FS1. Sean Manaea of the Mets against bullpen day for the Dodgers. Game 1 of the ALCS, 4:38 tonight, TBS. The Cleveland Guardians and Alex Cobb against the New York Yankees and Carlos Rodon. And Monday Night Football here on 97.3 and on ABC 10. Both of my stations have Monday Night Football. The Bills and the Jets.
Yippee.
For you tonight. Annie and Elston are coming up next. For Paul Reindel and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Monday from all of us here at 97.3 The Fan. So long.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.